Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
Where are all the gutless American wrestlers? Step in the ring with the Baron and face the brave.
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us for another episode. This week we have Cowboy Rex Bodie on the show. This is his first solo podcast appearance. Of course, his first ever technical podcast appearance was as part of the WWA Bruiser Bedlam reunion that I did in episode 231. But this one is Rex by himself. This was actually recorded before the reunion. So while it's being released after, it's, you know what I mean. You get it. But this is his first solo podcast appearance. Before we get to all that, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. The podcast is available on all podcast platforms. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, share, do all those fun things. You can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at The Dave Dynasty. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty. And the best way you can financially support the show is to go buy a shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/TheDaveDynasty. We have couple new shirts that just went up there recently. A Mitsu Arakawa shirt, endorsed, supported, whatever you want to say, by Mitsu's children. Part of those, you know, that funds will all go to them, of course. But this is an official shirt endorsed by the family. And then a Bruiser Buddy shirt. If you're a Bruiser Buddy like I am, go get your shirt and prove it to the world. Make sure you go check out the Ultimate Classic Wrestling channel at classicwrestling.net. Or download the app on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS mobile, and Android mobile. It's a great channel. Subscription rates are low. You definitely get your money's worth. There's new content going up there all the time, but there's so much great stuff already there. So go check them out. You will not be disappointed. And of course, go check out the WrestleCopia family of shows. There's all kinds of amazing podcasts with great hosts covering a wide range of territories, topics, etc. But they all shine a light on wrestling history. And if you're a wrestling history fan, as I am, obviously, the name of the show, Wrestling Nostalgia, you know that. Go check those shows out. You won't be disappointed. They're all fun, great shows, lots of information, lots of fun content there. Go to WrestleCopia.com, or you can look up the shows on any podcast platform. All right, well, let's just get right to it. Let's go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'll have that interview with Cowboy Rex Bodie, so stick around. This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend, Ike. And we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number 2, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider. Welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Jim Oliver, better known to us wrestling fans as Cowboy Rex Bodie. Jim, how are you?
I'm great. Great, Dave. Great to meet you again.
You too. Now, let's get this up front. This is your first podcast appearance, correct?
Yes.
I'm very happy about that. I like first-time guests. So let's talk about your career a little bit. Did you grow up as a fan of pro wrestling?
Oh, I did as a kid. I watched Dick the Bruiser all the time. But she has a, you know, that's all they had on television practically was wrestling.
Yeah. Well, you grew up in Michigan, right? And you were a successful amateur wrestler, right? I saw that you were Hazel Park High School, Michigan State Heavyweight Champion, 1972. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. Did you go on and wrestle in college at all?
I went to Michigan State, but thought I could play football instead. And I wasn't so good at it.
So you didn't wrestle in college at all then? You tried football and didn't work out.
Right, right.
Yeah? So what made you decide to enter professional wrestling?
Well, just George Animal Steele. He was a high school wrestling coach at a high school next door. And he was pals with my coach, Bob Morrill. Mm-hmm. Greatest coach I ever had. he's coached quite a few champions, Bob did. Anyway, back to how I got started. George Animal Steele, I was a pretty fair wrestler in high school, and I've got a crazy sense of humor.
That's
and
all right.
I made fun of a lot. I played too many games, and the coach would yell at me all the time for showing off and showboating out on the mat. And George Animal Steele thought that I might do pretty good in the ring if I got an education.
So
I got quite an education.
Yeah. So who trained you? How did you get trained?
Well, originally, I went with the Sheik, and he had a place in I think it was Milford, or had a really beautiful place out there. Was near Lansing, and he had a ring out in his yard, and his son, and he would take time to train the new guys. He had a whole crew of us out there. He had an old ring out in the yard. It was out in the elements. Always got soggy and had a hole in the middle of it. Watch over that hole in the middle. Don't break your ankles.
Did you ever run into Sabu or Rob Van Dam when training with the Sheik?
Oh yeah, yes. Man, he's just as smooth as a Sheik. Sabu, yes, sir. He was he's a great one. When did he retire?
Technically, I don't think he's retired. He's talking about having one last match before he hangs it up. God. Yeah. He's pretty banged up, but he keeps talking about having one last match, having a retirement match. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was pretty innovative. So how did you end up connecting them with Bruiser Bedlam and Jerry Jaffe and all those guys?
Jerry, George Animal Steele said, "Hey, you really want to learn?" I complained about the ring out at the Sheik's place, and I was an athlete, and unfortunately, when you're young, you kind of have an attitude, and you know, I was real proud of my athletic prowess. And the guys that I got in the ring with, I got made fun of when I was in the ring and on TV, and the Sheik worked me over. And at the gym, everybody that knew me is going, "Oh, Jim, well, how could you do that? I'm gonna beat up the boss. Come on." You know, but anyways, George Animal Steele says, "Hey, I got a guy that you can work with. He's really a great guy. He's a butcher." Butcher, yeah, Jerry Jaffe. You got to meet the guy. He's really a great guy. And you know, he anyway, when I met Jerry, and learned a little bit from him, and ended up going to traveling around a little bit. I didn't like the traveling. I didn't like the life, rough lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I says, "This ain't for me, man." So I brought a long story. Anyways, I stopped wrestling after a while, and they came years later, wrestling kind of fell out of style, you know, and I didn't like wrestling for peanuts and going out on the road and not making any money and coming back all beat up and black and blue. And it was a bummer, man. But if I got a message for young guys out there that want to get into the ring and wrestle, don't ever stop. Make it your heart's desire. Jerry did that. And look, he's a master at what he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And I admire him. Years later, I did make money bouncing around Detroit. I was a pretty good palooka, and you know, I'd bounce at different nightclubs in the city, the Riverwalk out in the Riverwalk and downtown, and this nudie bar, that nudie bar. I worked at the Premier Center for a little while in Sterling Heights, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then Bruiser Bedlam came there.
Yep.
And I saw Jerry and Wojo and met Chris Carter that night. And Jerry gave me a break and started booking me. It was cool.
Yeah. So how does a highly acclaimed amateur wrestler from Michigan end up with a cowboy gimmick?
Well, that's what Bruiser wanted. Yeah. He told Bruiser, says, "Hey, boys don't wear those dancing shoes you got on there. You know, all real cowboys wear boots. They wear work boots. They're working men. Be a real cowboy." So, come on. Okay.
Have you ever cool. ridden?
I enjoyed it.
Have you ever ridden a horse? Are you at all cowboy?
I have, but I'm all not right, good at it.
All right. Well, okay.
Too much in the shoulders. Too much with the shoulders, man. Cowboys are more lean and shoulders.
Yeah, well, hey, in Bedlam, you got to work with, man, you mentioned a few, so many talents, Jerry Graham Jr., oh. Don Kent, Great Wojo, Calypso Jim, Scott Snyder, so many others. So how important was this to you in your learning, right, in your developing? I mean, you were working with guys who were masters.
It changed my life. It changed. I got to practice my acting chops. That's what I really wanted to do. I thought I could springboard this into, you know, I like to write. It got me into, it actually got me into writing as well. And Jerry gave me the break, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. In my book, he's the greatest guy ever. Bulldog Don Kent, man, what a guy. He could deliver a forearm. He was like a cannonball with forearms.
He's so underappreciated, man. He's so good. Oh, he was.
I had a blast in the ring with him. He was one of the most fun guys to wrestle with. He worked tight, and he was a football coach, I believe.
Yep.
And it was a hell of a coach. He was the Fabulous Kangaroos.
Yeah, with Al Casola.
Al.
Yeah.
He was Al's. Yeah, they were tag team partners, and something happened downtown Detroit that kind of made me think about, you know, Jim, it's time to get a grip and move on.
let's talk about real quick, Scott Steiner, right? He was then known as Scott Rex Steiner, and you teamed with him several times in Bruiser Bedlam. He obviously became quite a character in professional wrestling. So do you have any fun Scott Steiner stories from when you teamed with him and were in the locker room with him?
He had a good sense of humor. He was a lot of fun to hang out with, a funny guy. He's a hell of an athlete. And I thought that was really cool that he'd go out in the ring and challenge anybody that was, wanted to come out and get him. I admired that in it. He was a hell of an athlete. He wrestled at the U of M, I believe.
Yep,
the U
sure
of M.
Did. Yep.
Same place our first Olympic champion graduated from.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you talked about you worked with Sheik a little bit. Did you, outside of Bruiser Bedlam and that, did you ever work anywhere else? Or did you stay pretty close to home and just work Bedlam?
I mostly Bedlam, but in Florida, Al had a show. I believe that I did an interview with in St. Petersburg, Florida. There was, I believe it was, he's got the America's Got Talent, and he had a wrestling show in St. Petersburg when he first started out. He became immensely famous.
I don't know.
Yeah, Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah, Simon Cowell, yeah.
When he was young, he had a wrestling show in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Simon hosted a show, and I was fortunate enough to appear on an interview, And it was pretty cool. I enjoyed the hell out of that. And I thought that maybe I'd be working with the Poffos, but I met I worked with the pineapple kid. He was a Polynesian guy that did fire dances and really a powerful wrestler, hell of a guy. And there are a couple other great guys I met down there, but it was long ago.
And, So when you were appearing in these other places outside of metal, did you wrestle as Rex Bodie? Did you wrestle as Jim Oliver? What were you doing outside?
Cowboy Bodie.
Yeah, all right.
I'll call me Cowboy Bodie. Yeah. Do the Australian accent, but
well, in early '89, you in Bedlam, you turned heel, and you became known as Badlands Bodie. How did that happen? And did you like working heel? What was that like?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was a blast. Bittersweet villains are wonderful.
Yeah,
they're just what would the world be without us? You know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. You give it enough, give enough rope, and he'll hang himself. You know, and that's kind of what happened to me. You know, I really the character went from he was a heel all along, but you know, doing magic tricks and crazy things like that. You know, I should have kept the cowboy gimmick going, but it changed from like a mountain man to a, and then he got into magic and doing stupid magic tricks to dinner. You know, I scare him. I could have been called the scarer if, later on down the line if I would have kept contact with the guys. I could have wore that top hat and with the goofy staff. I had a staff that would shoot off a flame, and I carry on before I got in the ring and scare him. I should have been called the scarer and been a moderator, you know, and maybe managed the insane clowns or
you know. Yeah.
Who are the clown fellas that Jerry had later on, that Bruiser Bedlam had later on, the clowns?
Oh yeah, I can't remember their names. Those St. Cloud Posse guys, the kind of guys or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. They had a wrestling thing going and,
yeah,
I just, you know, I got into writing and I thought, man, you know, I'm going to get in. I teamed up with, Detroit Filmmakers Coalition and Writers Coalition and, started writing stories and getting into writing and went back to school of creative writing and things like that.
Yeah. So
and,
it really, is this when you took a little time off then? Is during that?
Yes. I wanted to kind of write a story around the character that evolved, you know, with the top hat and with the voice.
Yeah, well, how'd that wind up?
I've got scripts. I've got stories. You know, I got to get the wherewithal to get it going. I noticed that you have a lot of fellows that are very talented in your circle that do cartoons and, you know, animations and things of that nature. Perhaps we could talk about that future.
Yeah, yeah. But you did come back briefly then as a face again.
Oh, so yeah.
What drew you back in?
Just, you know, once you get the bug, you know, it just never leaves. You know, I think I'll enjoy doing it again, but it just, you know, when you got a buck to fall back on, it's a good thing. When you're broke and you got to sleep in, you know, you got to sleep in your van or your car and then you get done working and you got to shower next to a pig, you get all soiled and you're smelling bad, and then you got to wash your cojones, you know, next to a pig or a cow. That didn't work for me, man. So
yeah. Well, as Bedlam wound down in 90, 91, around that time, it seemed like your career kind of did too. Did you ever try to or want to continue wrestling, or did you just feel that it was
time?
Well,
I did, but I got dissed by the Sheik. Muhammad Saad, Muhammad Jihad Saad, man, a heck of a guy, man. We became good friends. And, no, he was Islamic. He didn't. He would maybe have a sip of beer. We're all sinners. He would have a sip of beer, and I would have the keg of beer. We're coming back from a match in Ohio, and we were drinking, and we got stopped by the police, and oh man, you could see the cannon. I reeked the beer. I was reeking the beer, and the Ohio, and guys from Michigan that are in Ohio, when you get stopped, man, it's like, come on with us.
Yeah.
Well, that night, one of the bars that I worked in downtown, it's called Monroe's at the time. It was in Trapper's Alley.
Yeah.
It was a great nightclub. The manager says, hey Jim, why don't you come on after your match in Ohio and come in as Rex Bodie and just mingle. Well, I didn't know that night. I'm shooting off. I'm getting bartenders, and they were feeding me fire water. And Joe came up to be my wingman and watch over. But when Wisely, he's a smart fella. Wisely, after I got to a certain point and started shooting off my mouth, he decided to hit the road. And well, let me back up to Ohio. We were on our way back from Ohio, and we were drinking, and the police stopped us, and the cop says, you guys been drinking? I says, sure, officer, can't you smell it? And Joe's sitting there, Joe's going, oh god, thinking probably in his mind, we're gonna go to jail. Anyhow, something happened and the cop took off, and he had there was some emergency that happened, and he left, and we got away. And he looked at each other and says, at the same time, oh man, there was an angel on our shoulders, each of our shoulders that night, man. We both had angels on our shoulders. So we end up at Monroe's, and he comes up there with me. Man, he might have had a drink, and then when I started shooting off my mouth, he left. I kept drinking and drinking and drinking more and more and more fire water. And well, when the evening ended, I don't know, some goofball says, that wrestling is so foolish. And I kind of, I said, oh, yeah? Well, the Badlands Bodie came out, and I leave the place, and I'm shooting off my mouth. There's a big, I recall, I'm walking down the street and carrying on like an idiot, very bellicose, right? I can outrun, I'll jump out, show, I'll spit. Where's that Joe sign? Where's Mohammed sign? I'm the hate theory. I know you run off on me like that. I'm going, carrying on, and I look up at that moon is just like that. And this, I look up and says, oh Lord. I believe in guardian angels, man. I really do. Oh Lord, I'm put myself in your hands. Hold me in your hands, Lord. I guess I'm out of control. I turn the corner, and there's this Irish voice that says, oh, yeah. So I turn the corner, and I'm the St. Antoine's. And there's this Irish. I heard an Irish voice, and he says, oh, yeah. I looked at him, and he was green as a watermelon, all aglow in moonlight, man. I thought he was a magical frog till he says to me, what do you be doing with that right eye of yours in the morning? So he proceeds to walk to him, and he proceeds to pluck, I swear, he proceeded to pluck my eye out. So I reels him in real close. He's over there like this. I'm back in the car, like back over his limousine. They were in the limousine. Him and I think Ric Flair was next to him. Ric Flair. He's trying to pluck my eye out, I swear. And I pull him up, grab him, and I pull him in, and I give him a Mike Tyson. I bit his nose. I don't know, hard enough to bite it off, but just enough. I bit it like a pickle, just a little bite. Who was boss? Before I knew it, the police are a bunch of trolls showed up and they hung me off in their troll corner. I understand that night I must have kicked the window out of the cop police car, and I spent the night in the Hooskow, and I didn't get out till maybe 3 o'clock that afternoon. I had to go. I think it was in Ohio, somewhere back to Toledo, I think it was. And I was so hungover and in such bad shape. When I signed out of the jailhouse, the cop says, "Hey, you know, you seem to be in pretty good mood for guys in such hot water." "Hey, by the way, who was that guy? You know, who was his name? Was Kevin Sullivan?" Anyway, the Sheik, you know, you tell me, I try to get back into wrestling later on. And Sheik had a match, I don't know, in Detroit. So I think it was somewhere in Detroit. I'm not sure. I show up there, and sure enough, Kevin Sullivan's standing there. He says, "What do you want?" I says, "I'm here to see the Sheik. You know, I think I want to start wrestling in Detroit now." You know, and the Sheik comes out and says, "Hey, I don't know you, man." Okay. Well, that was the end of it for me, really. You know, yeah.
So tell me what was the Bruiser Bedlam locker room like? Right, you talk about all these fond memories, man. Were you guys just? I mean, it sounds like it was kind of a family.
Oh, it was the greatest. It was, man. Bruiser was cool. You know, he just had a great sense of humor. He was a legend. He was my hero when I was a kid, man. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be just like Dick the Bruiser when I grew up. So that was, you know, I got to get in the ring a couple of times with a legend, and I was really flattered and impressed with it that happened.
Yeah. There were several other kind of young wrestlers that I've never seen outside of Bedlam, guys like Terry Tyler, Farmer Luke, the Kentucky Butcher. What were these guys like? There's not a lot of information out there about them.
The Kentucky Butcher. I'm not real sure about the Kentucky Butcher. I think maybe Bruiser had him at a show maybe once. I didn't. Was he about 6'6", big fella, the Kentucky Butcher?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And he was a big overhaul, of course.
Yeah.
I remember him vaguely, but Muhammad Saad and Wojo and Chris Carter I should have had more coffee this morning. a lot of the guys have left this world. Denny Cass.
Yep.
And they were great to travel with. It was a blast, you know, going here and there and partying and laughing with the guys. Yeah, we had quite a crew.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was also a character. I don't know if this is around your type. There was a character. There was a Jason, right, with the hockey mask and everything. Who was under the mask? Do you have any idea?
I don't know the young man's name, but he was a pretty impressive young man. Yeah, he was. He was a big galoot, about 6 foot six.
Yeah,
monster. Yeah, I do not know who he was, but I recall, you know, being in the same arena with him.
Yeah, he got some cool, pretty pretty wild vignettes and things coming out of lakes and different things. And it was pretty good. Seemed like everybody at that time had a Jason, though. It was like everybody, you know, Memphis, everybody had a Jason.
Yeah, it was popular, really popular.
Absolutely.
At the time.
Yeah. So after the Sheik thing and everything else, did you ever make any other appearances? Any other like one-off returns or anything? Or was that about it?
Bruiser Bedlam kind of folded the tent for a little while in Toledo, and I bid everyone farewell, and me and my horse were going to go off into the sunset, and it was good. It was good while it lasted.
Yeah, yeah. So let's play some name association here. I'm going to tell you a name. You tell me, you know, a memory, a story, just anything you want about these guys, all right? And we'll start with the obvious, Jerry Graham Jr.
Jerry Graham Jr. Just a sharp guy. He knew all. He just knew wrestling psychology like few others in the business. I just admire him. You know, he gave me a break when nobody else would.
Yeah. So, man, I always said Jerry is so underappreciated. I know he got a cup of coffee in WWF, but man, as a talker, as a mind, so underappreciated. Not enough people know about Jerry Graham Jr.
No, and he's got a volumes of work that you know, if anybody visits his site, man, they'll see just you know how into it he made a life career out of. He loved wrestling, man. It was his Absolutely. Passion.
Yeah,
it is All his right. passion.
Sure, yeah, still is. Okay, how about the great Wojo?
I met Wojo way back. He probably doesn't remember me because I was just a 17-year-old kid at the Olympic wrestling trials back in 72, I think it was, the summer of 72. That big guy from Iowa, Chris.
Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor. Yeah. He was a moose, man. He must have waited. Yeah. Anyways, Wojo, I believe, was an alternate to go to the Olympics. I remember him and Chris Taylor sparring off and you know in the ring. But that's where I saw Wojo the first time. And he's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah, such a legit guy, and he always wanted to stay close to home. I think he could have done a lot more in wrestling, but he didn't want to, right? He wanted to, you know, he was happy to stay close to home and do his thing, and that's what he wanted. But man, such a talent. And
brother.
How about El Bracero?
El Bracero. He was a Mexican style wrestler, you know, did a lot of that, flips and acrobatics and flying. And it was okay.
Yeah. He was pretty cool because this was back, you know, not everybody was doing it, right? So he was different.
Jose El Bracero, I call him Al. He's one of the
Jose. Yeah. Jose's a good guy. Yeah.
Hey, Al.
All right. And what about Chris Carter?
Oh, Chris Carter, man, he's a fine man, fine fella, man. I admired Chris Carter. He was a consummate pro.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, he had a fine family. He was a good provider and a fine family man.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Good guy. What about Calypso Jim?
How is Chris Carter?
Man, he's doing good. He's back. He's doing some commentary for a promotion back in Toledo, and he's doing good. I talked to him not too long ago. I text him every now and again, and good guy, man. He's great. I don't know what he does, but he seems to be doing good.
Please give him my best.
I will. I will.
Give my regards.
Absolutely. Yeah. How about Calypso Jim?
Oh, Calypso Jim. Hey, I enjoyed working with Calypso Jim too. Couple times we worked a couple of times and it was a hoot. It was great. Yeah, he's a fine wrestler. He's just another consummate pro.
Jim's still at it. He wrestles now as Bobo Brazil Jr. And he is still at it.
An old man in his shorts. Huh?
He is, man, promoting shows. Wrestles occasionally and everything else. Still out there. He was a good guy. I've known Jim for a long time and many years. And he's still at it, even to this day, doing his thing. And good guy. What about Al Snow? You brought up Al Snow several times.
How is Al? Is he still with us?
He is, Al Snow now owns Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville, Kentucky, and is developing and training guys. And he's, man, you ought to see him. He's jacked. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. He's unreal. Unreal.
Oh, I can't. I hope I run into him again, man. If that could ever be arranged, you can ever arrange that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Al.
Yeah.
I went to his, he had a training facility in Ohio.
Yep.
And it was a Masonic, an old Masonic lodge that he took over.
Yeah.
And he had a stable of wrestlers that he was training there. I went there for about a few days, see what it was like. And that's when I realized he is too old. You know, for me, you're too old for this. So I went up for I hadn't seen El since. I went up for a hamburger. I said, what do you guys want? Hey, I'll take a snack. Well, the hamburgers came back a week later, and they never saw me no more. That's the last time I saw Al.
Yeah, man, he's out there on social media. He's still got a great sense of humor. He's all the time posting jokes. He's so funny. But, doing some good stuff there in Louisville, man. He's got some things going with Netflix and different things, man. I obviously had a big career, right, in WWE and everything else. He's done a lot.
Did he do that bit with he did that bit with the head and the suitcase? He walked around with a hand.
The head, yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, he took that. He made a lot of money with that thing, man. I'll tell you what.
See, it's a mess. Oh. We'd love to see him again.
Yeah. What about the voice of Bruiser Bedlam, Terry Sullivan?
Terry Sullivan. I remember him way from the Sheik.
Detroit,
days,
yeah.
The promo is out on Jefferson Avenue at the WADL. I don't know what it was, but it's out on Jefferson, and it was a whole building. Yeah, it's when Vince McMahon was wearing a red bow tie, and he showed up. He was Sheik's the Grand Wizard. The Grand Wizard. You asked me about that picture.
Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, you sent me a picture of you and the Grand Wizard. What was that?
A long time ago, they were talking. I went there as I really blew it. I blew it so many times. You know, I just, it was going to be kind of a comedy thing. They were going to, I went there with a, you know, I was a ladies' man. It was nothing but trouble for me. I brought this gorgeous redhead with me, to Philadelphia. And, George Animal Steel, I guess, must have been attracted to her at the time, and the Grand Wizard. I met him there, and a few other guys. Vince McMahon wouldn't remember me. There's so many millions of guys. He's
sure.
At the time, his father was getting up there in age, and he was about ready to, you know, being groomed, I guess, to take over where his pop left off.
Yeah.
Get back to the Grand Wizard and Terry Sullivan and all. They were gonna team. It's gonna be a comic thing with the redhead. You know, she was. You know the animal loved Miss Elizabeth.
Yep. Yep.
And I think with Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, it was like, oh, you're going like, oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're gonna do something like that with the. Me and the redhead and him, we were going to be like a tag team. And I was like the guy that wised me up. And it would have been fun, but I blew it. I guess, I shouldn't be saying this. Hulk Hogan had a girlfriend there too, I guess. Her name was Linda. I don't know. Linda, girl named Linda or something.
I think he ended up marrying her. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Anyways. There was some kind of an argument. There was fighting. And me and the redhead split. Because I said, man, I'm not sleeping in this cockroach pit. Let's go, honey. So we went somewhere else. And I guess the next day, the animal says, oh, what was all that commotion? Were you beating your girlfriend up? Or what's going on? I said, no, that wasn't me. I says,
can you hear me? I don't know what's going on. It just suddenly dropped out.
We good?
Yeah, there we are. Okay. I don't know what happened there. Just
I don't know, man. It's like the powers that be are going, hey, you're talking too much, clown.
All right. Well, I can edit all that out and splice it together. So here we go. Let's keep going here with the name of such a. So what about the guy named the Polynesian Wild Man?
Oh, Sakalia. Yeah, he was cool, man. I didn't know him real well personally, but he was a pretty cool guy.
You better believe it.
Yeah, that was his. You better believe it.
Yeah, and what do you remember about Prince Mama Mohammed?
Well, he's the first time I got in the ring for the Bruiser, I worked with Mama Mohammed. Yeah, he was a pretty fair wrestler. Yeah, is he still working?
I don't think he's with us anymore. Yeah, I think he passed away several years ago. Yeah, so a lot of these guys are gone, unfortunately. But so tell me, are there any chance of seeing Rex Bodie out there doing some appearances anytime in the future? Well, I know the fans of the Midwest would love to see it.
Well, I guess I could brush up on the accent or something. Yeah,
little buckaroos.
It might be fun. It might be fun. Yeah, I've learned a lot since then, and it would be cool. I'd enjoy that.
All right. Well, that let's hope that happens, because I think your little buckaroos would love to see you, as you used to always say.
It might turn into something. It could turn into something grand and springboard to.
Never know. I know a guy there in Toledo who's itching to get in contact with you. I don't know if he's reached out to you. Phil Monahan.
Oh, the name rings a bell. Phil Monahan. Oh man, let me think.
He runs CIW there. He works with Terry Sullivan, Chris Carter. They do his announcing on the show.
It'd be grand to meet him. Yeah, I vaguely the name I remember. Is Sam Botek still alive?
No, he is not. Nope. Sam Potek Jr. is not. Nope. He is not. I've talked to his wife, or his widow, a few times. But no, he's no good. A lot of people don't know Sam, but he was pretty integral in Bruiser Bedlam. They're kind of a money man and a backer with the Miller Lite, the beverage thing. And he was pretty important to Bruiser Bedlam.
But, yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
No.
Yeah, he arranged. Yeah.
No. Nope.
Oh. How about Mickey Doyle.
Yeah, he's still out there. He's on Facebook. Yeah, he's still out there doing his thing. I think he does an appearance here and there. He wrote a book a few years ago. So
really,
yeah, he's out there doing his thing. Gary Warrenchek, remember him? He's still out there.
Gary, yeah.
Yep, he's still out there. I think he did something with politics there for a few years. I don't know if he's still involved in that or not, but he's still around.
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, some of the guys still around, but, some are not, but you told me, you know, we talked here and whatever, you have very fond memories of your times in wrestling. Oh,
yeah.
And Bruiser Bedlam.
I loved it. Yeah. I love traveling with those guys, you know, it's just on the road again, you know, making music with my friends. That's it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I know a few times we've discussed you kind of undercut your contributions, right? You said, who cares about Rex Bodie? Man, that's not true. A lot of people do. And I get all the time, people say, hey, whatever happened to Rex Bodie? And I never heard of him again. And so lots of people can be excited to hear from you and get this out there and stuff. So I put a lot of Bruiser Bedlam out there, shows and stuff. And a lot of people are opening their eyes to it, saying, hey, this is pretty good stuff. I've never seen this before. And a lot of people ask about you.
That's surprising, Dave. Surprising.
No. It's, you know, people are always looking for something they've not seen before, you know, and having their eyes.
Jim Oliver will try not to blow it this time, I guess.
Well, now you're older, you're doing your own thing. Now you can just have fun with it, right? You can just enjoy. You're an artsy guy, right? You sent me some drawings and things, and you write. Oh, yeah. I mean, got a very artistic side. Do you think that artistic side, man, did that play into you in professional wrestling? Right, there's definitely an artistic side to professional wrestling.
Oh, absolutely! It's an art form, man. It's the greatest show on earth. It's art form, you know. It's athletics combined with acting, combined with great imagination.
Yeah,
I mean, and just passion. You got like looking. You're looking at your passion. When did you get into wrestling, Dave?
Dude, I don't even remember, man. I mean, it was before I was hooked watching with my grandma, and I would go to my grandma's on the weekends and stuff. And she was, man, my grandma was your atypical wrestling grandma, right? She'd yell at the heels and cheer for the baby faces, and she'd talk to the TV and I'd sit there and watch it with her, man. And it was just, it was majestic. It just hooked me. It was something. It was so, I mean, I've been a fan ever since, right? I mean, we're talking 40 plus years of fandom or more. It's just, and it's never waned. Right. It's always been there.
Brother. Yeah. My great grandmother used to sit, as I said, you know, the TVs were black and white when I at midnight, or 10:30, the Indian, a paddle, come on, of an Indian chief and a, you know, pattern.
Yeah.
And wrestling was, I guess it was inexpensive to produce, and it was just on all the time. Daphne, here.
Yeah.
My great grandma, when the sheik used to come out, and he had this little harem girl that would roll up. I remember my great grandma as a little kid, she'd sit in a rocking chair. She had an Italian accent, and she'd be going in a little dowager's home, and she'd see the sheik. He'd have the harem girl roll the prayer rug out.
Prayer mat. Yeah.
You know, he'd make his absolutions and because she didn't spread the rug out fast enough or the right way, he'd straighten the rug out and then slap her around the ring.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and my grandmother gets so mad. She's at the TV. And when the Bruiser came on, they used to, he and Bruiser would work a lot. The sheep and Bruiser.
Yeah.
And when Bruiser came on and, you know, beat the hell out of him, oh, she just loved Bruiser.
Yep. That's why.
He says, you want to be like Dick Bruiser? You know?
It's the way my grandma was. I grew up in Central Indiana. And we'd get Memphis Wrestling out of Louisville. We were close enough that we could get into there. Of course, we got Bruiser stuff out of Indianapolis. And, man, she was something else. She took me to my first show when I'm too young to remember. But she grew up in a little town called Edberg, Indiana. And Bruiser came through and did a spot show there in the high school gym. And I don't remember it, but that was my first show. And she took me to it. And we, you know, so.
That was it.
And I've been hooked ever since, man. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, hey, man, Jim, it's good to talk to you. And I hope we can stay in touch. But it's like I said, I love having first time guys on, getting to tell their stories and remember these things. And hopefully I can put you in touch with some of these guys you'd like to connect with again. And hopefully we can get Rex Bodie out there. I'll get in touch with Phil. Like I said, I know he wants to talk to you. And
well, you're an easy guy to talk to, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
It was great meeting you, man.
You too.
Gene Jackson here, inviting you to join us for the Retro Wrestling Review Podcast, where each week I'm joined by guest co-host to review and discuss old school pro wrestling. Right now, we're doing week-by-week reviews of USWA Memphis from 1993. We have an audio version of the podcast as well as a video version if you want to check out the clips of the show we're talking about. It's a lot of fun, so for this and a lot of other great wrestling content, check out WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com.
All right, and welcome back. Thank you to Rex Bodie, a.k.a. Jim Oliver. Or I guess it would be Jim Oliver, a.k.a. Rex Bodie. There you go. Anyway, Jim Rex, thank you for coming on the show, doing that interview with me. Thank you for taking part in the WWA Bruiser Bedlam Reunion. It's great talking to him. Make sure, again, you follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty. Go check out all the WrestleCopia Network podcasts. And be sure you watch my social media for the announcement of next week's guests. We have lots of great guests and episodes coming up. I've got lots of interviews already in the can, already just in the bank, ready to go. But a couple other things brewing, too. Some other interviews to do. So I'm a little unsure of what order I'm going to do things. That's why I'm not saying anything right now. But like I said, follow me on social media. Watch those. And that's the best way to tell what is coming up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me and all the other WrestleCopia brand shows. And let's get out of here. We'll see you next episode. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Menaker thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.